Welcome to the Clean Speech Challenge. I'm Gila Ross, host of the Power Up podcast, and I'm so excited to bring you the Clean Speech Challenge. Over the next few days, we are going to hear from experts around the world, inspiring ideas about how we can improve our relationships with our words. And each day, we're going to get one short actionable item that we can take into our life and use it to upgrade the way we talk to others. And while we're doing it, there's going to be opportunities to create community and win prizes. Check out the show notes for details. Hello, everyone. Day three of our Clean Speech Challenge. Rabbi David Eisenberg to join us because I'm really, really excited about today's challenge.
Which is going to be day number three. Gila, what happens up to now for those who have missed it?
So for anyone that's missed it, firstly, you can catch it all up on the podcast. You can ask us for the emails that went out with a summary of it. And what basically day one was incredible start. We learned about the idea of taking a habit that we're trying to put in this case, positive speech, and stacking it onto a habit that we already have. And the challenge was to set an intention to use positive speech for someone, to give someone a positive word when we have our morning cup of coffee or tea. And today's challenge I'm super, super excited about because I think it's going to be a little bit more challenging than the ones up to now. But like most things in life, it's the more challenging it is,
the more it's worthwhile. I think that's the way that you're going to finish just now.
Worthwhile it is. And we are Rabbi Eisenberg coming on. And the way why I'm so excited is because we've all been there. We've all said something that we regret saying, that came out wrong, was misunderstood. Hello, Rabbi Eisenberg.
Welcome. We are with us. It's amazing.
Hi, guys.
We are live.
Hi.
Live on Facebook.
Unbelievable. I am live.
So
would
good
you believe
having
it?
You with us. Rabbi Eisenberg.
It's nice to be with the two of you as well. I'm so excited about this clean speech project that you guys are putting on.
Thank you. I think it's amazing. And it's amazing having you. You speak in so many different places, including on Facebook itself. So it's amazing being here with you.
I'm sure there are some people that are meeting you for the first time. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll jump into the clean speech.
Right, okay. Okay, hi, good evening, everybody. My name is David Eisenberg. I'm a rabbi here in Prestridge, in the Prestridge Hebrew Congregation. And that's one of the things that I do. I teach in many different schools and seminaries. I also create content for adults and for children. So I have children's CDs and albums I've put out with stories. I have lots of different shurim that I send out by Atar anytime and other things. So I do create a tremendous amount of content, and I get a lot of exposure to all sorts of different people within the community, from the rightmost all the way to the left. So I get to see lots and lots of people. We see the best of them. We see sometimes the worst of them. And, you know, it's part of the reason I'm so excited to be over here with you guys to discuss the ideas of Shmiras HaLashon and clean speech. Because I think the more people you meet, the more chance you have really to see faults in people. And once you start seeing faults in people, it starts to become like, oh, this guy's got something wrong with them. And that person got something wrong with them. And oftentimes you think to yourself, you know what, you come home after a frustrating day and you just feel like, I just want to share this with someone. I just feel like I want to tell my wife, or I want to tell my kids, or I want to tell my boss. Listen, guys, this guy is such a nudnik, or this woman drives me crazy. And this is really where clean speech comes in. Clean speech comes in where you say, you know what, they might drive you crazy, but guess what? You probably drive someone else crazy too. You think you're the only one that gets driven crazy by everybody else. I think life swings in roundabouts that way. And sometimes you're actually the one that's driving everybody else crazy. So you got to have a bit more grace that way. You got to give people a little bit more space. And I think today what we'd like to speak about is really making up for what has been said. And this is, I think, one of the most difficult parts of Shmiras HaLashon. It's not only actually not saying what you're supposed to say, but many of us will fail at one point or another and will end up saying something we shouldn't have. And then the question is, well, where do you go from there? So I'd like to say a few things about that first before we get to the challenge. Number one, It's actually an interesting discussion, a halachic discussion, just to mention as an aside. When you go and you apologize to someone, do you need to tell them exactly what you said? Or is it just enough to sort of say, you know what, I said something not nice about you. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize. And some of the Rabbonim actually come out and say, well, no, you have to say exactly what you did wrong. Because if you want to apologize for something, if you didn't tell the person what you did wrong, how could you ever apologize for it? Whereas others say, listen, that we have to draw a line over here. If you have made fun of somebody and you stare them straight in the face and say, by the way, I've really said something nasty about you. Really, what was that? Oh, well, here we go. And then your whole monologue that you had about them, you just decide to tell the person straight to their face. And then you go, by the way, do you forgive me for that? I hope you don't mind I said that. You don't stand much of a chance in that apology. I know I definitely wouldn't stand much of a chance in apologizing to somebody else for that, because I'd be like, hey, what was that all about? Why do you feel you have a right to talk to me like that or to talk about me like that? So if you're going to go ahead and you're going to try to apologize to people, I think the first thing to say is, it's not worth saying to people, look, I'm going to repeat exactly everything that I said, even though normally when you ask for forgiveness, it might be better to say it, at least when you're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're speaking to God, it's better to say, I did X, Y, and Z, I ask you for forgiveness. Here you just say to someone, listen, I might have said something that I shouldn't have said, came out wrong. I'm really, really sorry. I don't want to upset you. I don't want to repeat it. Will you forgive me? That's the first thing that I would say. The next thing, which is really, really important in this whole thing, and it's funny because Rabbi Samuel and I were having the discussion earlier this week about somebody that trolled me online. And the trolling that went on online, I'm not going to discuss the exact nature of it because I think it's not so relevant over here. But what happened was is somebody wrote something about me that then started gaining traction. And once it gains traction, you don't know where this goes. We have no idea nowadays where our words can go and how far they could spread. It used to be that if I spoke to a few people in shul, how far is that going to go? Today, if I put something up on Facebook, that could go viral. That could go live. That could be in Australia, New Zealand within seconds. And once it's out, it's out. And, you know, even if you take it off, sometimes people screenshot it and they keep it as a souvenir. If you get rid of it from a file, that doesn't mean it's gone. Somebody might still actually have to go, hey, that was hilarious. That was really, really funny. They actually held on to it. They kept it rather than getting rid of it. And now suddenly you're looking at a situation where you're like, yeah, I made fun of somebody else, but I made up for it. I got rid of it. No, you might have gotten rid of it. You don't know for sure that you got rid of it. You don't know who saw it, and you don't know where it went. Now, I know this is, you know, sometimes you call it cliche, or sometimes you'll say this is something that many people have heard before. And, Rebbe Singilla, we spoke about this earlier today. But the idea that somebody once said that if you went and you took a pillow and you opened it up and you started to throw all the feathers all over and the wind blew them all away, and then you wanted to gather them back, you'd have a very, very hard time getting everything back together again. The same is true for our words, honestly. That once a word has escaped my mouth, I can never, ever take it back. There's no way of taking it back. And you know, sometimes when you say something in the heat of the moment, when you're angry or when you're upset, the real issue then becomes that, like, we say to somebody, oh, I didn't mean that. But oftentimes I find if I really lose my temper, if I really get upset or whatever it is, which Baruch Hashem doesn't happen too often, but when it does happen, very often what's coming out actually is, deep down, this is what I really believe about you. And I keep it hidden because I think we all have opinions about other people that we don't always tell them to their face, but we deep down hold about them. And if they push us to the brink, those things come out. Well, actually, I think you're a pompous idiot. Right, okay.
Thank you, Evan.
Now you're going to say, no, I don't really think you're a pompous idiot, right? But there, I didn't mean to joke
no,
you, obviously.
You're confident,
you know? But
you
know, if I said to somebody, I think you're a pompous idiot.
Me, right?
Pardon? You can say whoever it is. I mean, like, you know, each one of you is like, he meant you. Yeah. But if I said to someone in a moment of anger, I think you're a pompous idiot, I could never take that back. And if he comes out and says, you know what, I didn't mean you were pompous and I didn't mean you were an idiot. Well, why did you say it? You obviously did mean it, because if you didn't mean it, you wouldn't have said it. And now it's out. Now you've said it. You can never, ever take that back. And however many people in the room, they'll be like, he just. You know, go home, you know, and we were with this Eisenberg guy, and he lost his cool, and he called the other guy a pompous idiot. And that just goes around. And then somebody else goes, yeah, you know what? He might be right. The guy he's talking about, I've dealt with him also. he's not exactly. And then people start, as soon as you start hearing, it snowballs. What we say about other people has the effect that it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's nearly impossible to bring that back. So how do we repair? That's a big question. I think the question is probably better almost than the answer. But I think the first thing to do is to be really honest. You know, you got to be really honest with yourself and really honest with the people that you're dealing with and say to yourself, I said something that I shouldn't have said. I said something that really would have been better just kept in here. And as we said, we all have opinions about other people that maybe we wouldn't want to share with them, and that some people annoy us or some people have annoying habits, whatever it is. And we keep it to ourselves most of the time. And then you said something and you realize, hey, wait a second. So I think the first step really is a realization. And that really is part of the first challenge for today.
Let's hear it. I'm sensing there's a big one building over here, Robert Eisenberg. Let's hear it.
There is a big one building over here. The second challenge is even bigger. We have a two-pronged challenge. So we got the small challenge and the big challenge that I discussed with Rebbitz and Giller earlier. So we're going to start with a small challenge. But the first challenge really is to start becoming aware of what you say and the impact of what you're saying. So come away from a conversation and say, you know what? Was I maybe a little bit too harsh with that person? Or did I say something about that person that I shouldn't have said? Was that hurtful? And is that something that I would want saying about me? And if the answer to any of those questions is, I shouldn't have really said that, I shouldn't have really done that, then think to yourself, but what will I do different next time? Maybe next time I should be more careful. Maybe next time I need to be a little bit more mindful about the fact that when I say something, once it's out, it's gone. I can't take it back. That's a really, really difficult thing. So that's the first challenge is really, is A, to start looking at the conversations that you've had and to think to yourself, is there something in that conversation that I should
have said? And there's a bigger part of it?
And, what, and yeah, once you the start,
Wow.
Ooh, there is a much bigger part of this challenge. And here we go. Part two of this challenge is, if you're really man or woman enough about it, can you actually go back to that person and apologize? Because you know what one of the most difficult things in life is to actually say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And I know many people that just can't get those words out of their mouth. And no matter how far you push them, sometimes they'll actually say the following, you know what, Rabbi Samuel, you're right. They won't say, I was wrong. They'll say, you know what, you're right. Sometimes you'll get the following. I was just saying this today in a class that I was teaching. One of the sentences I hate most is, let's agree to disagree. You know, sometimes you ask someone a question and you've more or less pushed them into a corner. And rather than answering the point, they just say to you, let's just agree to disagree. Yeah. How many times have you had that? And I'm like, no, let's not agree to disagree. Let's agree that you answer the question that
it's
I asked
like
you. But people, it's like Rosh Hashanah's come early. Thanks, Bev. Appreciate that. But the truth is, why wait till Rosh Hashanah to apologize? We often wait till Rosh Hashanah, and then we start to think, what did I do wrong this year? Do you know what? If I were to go back in September and think what I did wrong last year in October, I have no idea. Don't know about you, but I don't keep tabs of these things. But if at the end of October, I took a tab and I said to myself, you know, there might have been some people I wasn't nice to this year, and I really need to apologize.
You're so right, Rabbi Eisenberg. And firstly, I want to thank you so much for your time, for reminding us how important our words are, and for setting us the challenge of number one, reflecting if there's someone that we owe an apology to, and
number two, actually going
and
doing
giving them the apology. I just also want to say that you 100% right. You're so right. I think all of us listening, and whether you're listening live or you're listening on the recording, know that apology is really, really hard. But the thing is, when we are able to do an apology, it's actually a way to strengthen that relationship. Because when you can go back to that relationship and say, 100%. You know what, I messed up, but basically you're telling the other person that I'm invested enough in the relationship to you to overcome this discomfort of apology and repair that relationship. And that's perhaps an idea that can give us that courage to go and take that apology. Thank you again, Rabbi Eisenberg.
I would also just like to.
Thank you for inviting me, guys. Keep spreading your light.
Thank you.
You did a brilliant job.
So kind. And we look forward to getting some feedback on this. We want to hear which relationship you were able, in the next day or two, you were able to repair.
Repair and strengthen. And just a reminder of the three ways that you can win a £36 Amazon voucher or equivalent currency if you are not in the UK. Number one, anyone that completes all four of the challenges, just email or put it in the Facebook group. I'll put the link to the Facebook group in the comments and let us know that you've done it. Number two, the community champion, the person in the Facebook group that is cheering each other on and helping us with this positive speech challenge. And there's already a couple of contenders for that prize. And the third one is the person that brings the most people to this challenge. You will also win a £36 Amazon voucher. And all the winners of these prizes is going to be announced on Monday at the free masterclass of Getting Your Voice Heard, which, if you're not yet signed up to the challenge, make sure you're signed up to the challenge, because you'll get all this information in your emails about how to win, how to do this challenge. And the truth is, anyone that does the challenge is going to be a winner, because improving our positive speech,
you're all winners. I think that's what Rebecca and Giver is saying.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Have a good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you. See you. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. I can't wait to hear how the challenge went for you. You can email me gillaross@gmail.com. And please take a moment to rate, review, subscribe, and share this challenge with anyone else who will benefit from it. Thank you and have a wonderful day.